to the March 6th, 2011, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Jeff Allen and is entitled, Wrestling. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. Good morning. Take a few moments, stand up or reach and pat your neighbor on the shoulder, shake their hands, welcome them to worship this morning. Okay. Charlie, we'll wait. Go ahead. Charlie, we'll wait. Yeah, man. Yeah. We welcome you to worship today. We'd like to find out who is in the sanctuary this morning. The way we do that is on the inside aisle of every pew, we have a pew pad. We'd like members and guests to fill that out, place to put your name. Place to check the appropriate boxes. If you could help us out with that, it's on the inside aisle of every pew. Fill it out, send it at the end of the aisles, end of the pews, excuse me, so everybody has a chance to fill it out and send it back to where it got started. We do ask, once it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that would be helpful for our ushers as they collect those at the end of the service. It is College Sunday. We have some of our college students here today. We'll be providing worship leadership, and we're also headed to Charleston for our mission trip. So many things happening with our college students. I'm thankful for them giving up part of their spring break to come and be a part of the service today. A reminder to our mission team, we are having a commissioning service at the end of a time of commissioning at the end of the service today. So if you could be prepared to come down front. That would be great. We also appreciate all those that have provided snacks and food for our mission trip. We are headed to Charleston this afternoon, and we should be back late Wednesday night, and we need all the sustenance we can get. So thank you for helping us out with that. A couple other announcements I'll give for today. There is something a little different that you'll see in the bulletin this morning. We'll sing hymn number 206, Standing Up Like Normal. But then there'll be a hymn after that that will sing a verse at a time. We invite you just to wherever, just stay seated. During hymn number 4, we'll do verse 1. And then a little bit later in the service, we'll do verse 2. And then a little bit later, we'll do verse 3. So just want you to be aware of that. You don't need to stand up at that time. Just sit there and sing to God be the glory each verse. Let's see. A couple of announcements you'll find listed there in your bulletin, upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week. All these things are listed. A couple of things we want to draw your attention to. Today is the last day for dinner and show tickets. And to get that started off right, I want Elizabeth and William, y'all come on down.
Good morning. I'm William Henson.
And I'm Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, do you know what is this Saturday?
No, nothing's really ringing a bell.
Well, I'll tell you what's this Saturday. Dinner and a show.
Oh, that's right. Dinner show is this Saturday and Sunday. The tickets for Saturday are $20 and the tickets for Sunday are $15.
Wow, that's a deal.
You can find there will be a ticket booth set up outside of Smith Hall right after the service that you can come and get your tickets.
Come see us.
Yes, they are going fast. Today is the last day to get to get those tickets, and we appreciate you supporting our young people as they prepare to do missions very soon. Let's see. One other thing, today is the sign up for our youth spring retreat. Just want to make note of that. Also, there is a Call Church conference on Sunday, March the 20th. At 9 o'clock in the recreation service and 11 o'clock here in this service for the purpose of voting on the summer mission trip. Some of you may or may not, you may not know, every summer our church, the last several years, our church has gone to Kentucky and done a church-wide home building. The church comes together and builds a home. Our relationship in Kentucky has changed, and so we're looking for a new location, and there's one that's going to be voted on. We'll have information sessions as well as the time for a called conference on March the 20th. So we hope that you make note of that. I think that's it. Any other announcements? You good? We good? All right. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. A few moments ago, you put your name down on the pew pad, and we appreciate you doing that. We would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just right where you are, raise your hand as our ushers come back down the aisles. They will give you this packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that gives you all the latest information about what's happening in and around our church. Thank you for being here this morning. It is good to be together. You know, it's tough on a rainy day to get out of bed and to come into this place. It's just so much effort to get up and to get here, especially when you have a sick baby. It's a lot of effort to get. But you know, in comparison to what Christ did, it is nothing. Christ gave it all so that you and I would have the privilege to come into this place, to call on his name, and to worship him. Let us prepare to do just that.
Will you pray with me? Dear God, creator and ruler of the earth, thank you for allowing us to gather here once again to praise and honor you. I ask that you uphold the weary and humble the strong as we bring all that we are to you, O Lord. Through sin, we had a debt that you graciously paid for us. Let us worship you not only with our words and actions, but from within us as well. Fill us with your presence during this hour, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
I.
You.
Me.
We.
We exist.
We exist.
We exist.
We exist to exalt Jesus Christ.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering.
We.
More than one.
All of us together.
Exist.
It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists,
to exalt Jesus Christ,
should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family.
We exist to exalt Jesus Christ,
one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens.
Become. To be changed.
Transformed.
Become his fully devoted followers.
To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps.
We exist to exalt Jesus Christ, to become his fully devoted followers.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Become his fully devoted followers.
The same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me."
Become his fully devoted followers.
And share.
Partake.
Give.
Tell others.
And share his grace.
His grace.
Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people.
And share his grace and truth.
And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
And share his grace and truth with all people.
For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
And share his grace and truth with all people.
If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
And share his grace and truth with all people.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
And share his grace and truth with all people.
And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
We exist to exalt Jesus Christ, become his fully devoted followers, and share his grace and truth with all people.
I'll be reading from John 3:1-21. Now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform a miraculous sign you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my sayings. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teachers, Jesus said, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify that to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept my testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to the heavens except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may not have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his man into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the God only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but man loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be plainly that what he has done has been through God.
Hi. Okay. So, Jeff sent us an email, I guess, back when we were supposed to initially do this in, like, December. And he asked this question about questions that we had. And I don't know. It's one of those things where I can't just ask, like, one simple question. I feel like I have to go through this whole process to kind of verbalize and express, you know, what I'm trying to think or feel or whatever. So just bear with me. Back in 2003, I was in, like, the eighth grade. I had this friend that I had made, and I had known who she was several years before, and she had not had the greatest reputation. Had a lot of people that talked badly about her, and because of that, I feel like I sort of judged her based on what other people had told me about her. And I never really gave her the chance. But due to the wonderful invention of assigned lunch seats, I was stuck with her. And it ended up being the greatest thing that could have possibly happened to me because she became one of my best friends. She was a beautiful person, and I absolutely love her to death. But in that, I was able to kind of, you know, expose her to, you know, church and Jesus and, you know, love that she had never really experienced before. You know, she had always, you know, known this, you know, that she had this reputation, and in some instances she didn't really care, but I think part of that was just thick skin. And there was actually one time where she sat there and told me, you know, she's like, you realize that you are my best friend because I know that you do not judge me and that you love me for who I am, and I appreciate that. And that's one of those things that has always stuck with me. Fast forward to present day. I had my roommate this year. I kind of knew who she was beforehand because she had lived on my hall last year. And I wasn't necessarily really excited about living with her because there were certain things that I'd, you know, known of, you know, on the hall the previous year, you know, and stuff that I kind of know, you know, I knew had went on and everything. And I just wasn't really excited about living with that. But instead of trying to do that hasty judgment, I tried to give her the benefit of doubt, and I'm really glad that I have, because she is an absolutely beautiful person. And then on top of that, it's been an interesting experience because she's another one that hasn't been shown a lot of love. She didn't have a good family life, and she is soul searching. And she kind of flat out told me, you know, she's like, I've never really had a lot of good experiences with Christians, and I've never wanted to be surrounded by Christians because I've not been able to stand them. And yet this year I feel like I've been surrounded by them. She's like, I've been stuck with you. I have like three or four other friends that have come out of the woodwork. She's like, I don't get it. She's like, but you're everywhere. all that to be said, my biggest thing, and it's always been one of those things that, you know, I've kind of pondered about, but I think I've kind of done it more since I've gotten older and, you know, you kind of get out into the real world and you experience things on your own. I've always kind of wondered why it is that, you know, our God is all about love. And we're supposed to exemplify that love through our actions no matter what. And yet there are so many times that we kind of nitpick about everything and we judge everybody for the stupidest reasons. You know, when really there are some of those people that absolutely need this love and they're not getting it because we're judging them based on appearance, based on, you know, reputations that, you know, may or may not be true. And if they are, who cares? You know, politics, anything. And that's always kind of bothered me, you know, and granted, you know, I know that I'm as guilty as anyone else, you know, through these two stories, you know, I kind of had these preconceived notions of these individuals before I really got to know them. You know, and it's difficult for me to see, you know, this judgment and stuff that goes on because while talking to Holiday, my roommate this week, she's been looking. You know, she really has been searching for the answers. She flat out told me, you know, she's like, I've been looking into Christianity and everything. And she's like, I'm down with Jesus. Jesus is so cool. She's like, he was a, you know, cool guy. She's like, but he hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors and people that, you know, other people didn't like. You know, she's like, and I, you know, I hate Christians because I don't think that they get that. And they don't, you know, they don't show that love that Jesus shows. You know, and that kind of hurts me because, you know, she's completely and totally right, you know, through the media and just through so many people that, you know, we're getting this negative, you know, we're giving this negative vibe because, you know, so many people see the negative and they never see the positive. You know, but, you know, so it's one of those things where I've come to realize that, you know, we really do just need to go out there and show this love for people no matter what. And so I was trying to look for a verse that might kind of fit this, and I was looking it up, and, you know, stuff about love and judgment, and I wasn't really getting anything that I really liked. And so randomly I looked in James for whatever reason, and I found this. It's chapter 2, verses 5 through 10, and it says, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised for those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." We become so comfortable, you know, talking to those people that look like us and think like us, you know, because, you know, there is that comfort level and it's who we can relate to. When in reality, sometimes it's those people that, you know, don't necessarily need it as much as you. Oftentimes, it's those people that you don't necessarily want to talk to or associate with because you don't understand them and that need it the most. You know, and Holiday expressed to me the fact that, you know, whether it be Christianity or otherwise, you know, she's like, I feel that humans need some sort of spiritual fulfillment. I just don't know what. And I feel like that exemplifies that idea perfectly, you know, that we need to go out there and show, you know, that that is the love that they need. You know, and so, you know, we have to go out of our comfort zone and to love everybody, because if we don't, we are completely missing out, and we're missing a whole dynamic, especially since these are those people that, because they question and because they research and because they go out of their way to find the answers, those are the ones that whenever they finally come to God and they become part of our Christian family, those are the ones that you want, because they know the, you know, not necessarily that they know the answers, but they know what they believe and why they believe, and it's more than just blind faith. They ask questions, and that's wonderful. And so I guess my challenge to you guys through my questioning is that I want you to really go out there and just completely love everybody and go out of your way to talk to those and reach out to those that you wouldn't necessarily reach out to. So there you go.
Read from John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." She said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak am he."
Let us bow our heads in prayer. We stand before you, God, humbled by the wonder of creation, the wonder of your love, the wonder of you. We ask your forgiveness for falling so short of the mark that you've set for us. Give us guidance and courage as we try to do your bidding in this sometimes unreceptive world. Give us perception,
Give us desire. Give us an attitude of reverent worship in the presence of your power. And Lord, most of all, open our doors to opportunity that we may bring others into your open arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think it was back in 1985, I was first asked to serve on the Budget Planning Committee. And I think that was the first time I'd ever served on any kind of committee or in any kind of financially related role in the church. And since then, for the past 26 years, there haven't been many years, if any at all, really, I think, that I haven't served in some way, budget planning, the financial committee, finance committee, treasurer, auditor, money counting committee. I've done all those things, and like I say, pretty continuously since 1985. And the reason I'm saying this is I was thinking, you know, when we talk about stewardship and you hear that word, I think, you know, we think as church members, we think what that means to us when we think about our giving, how we need to search ourselves and decide, you know, how much to give to support the church. But on the flip side, when you look at the finance committee, the budget planning committee, the staff, the chairman of all the other committees in the church who have budgets, on the flip side, stewardship means using those funds wisely and spending them the way they need to be spent so that they're it's done the right way and hopefully no money is wasted or spent on anything inappropriately. And as I think through this and all my years of serving on these committees and all the different people I've worked with, I'm very comfortable and very grateful that I think we do have very good stewards in these positions here at our church, whether it be the staff or different committee members. And I'm grateful for that. And I think when we are giving our resources, giving our money to the church, we can all be very comfortable that it will be used wisely. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we especially thank you that it's College Day, and we appreciate all these young people who have come back home to spend this weekend and to participate in this service when they could be doing something else. So we are grateful for that. Yeah, we thank you for the rain and just all the other blessings that you have given us today. And now, as we give back a portion of those blessings, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Forgive us for our sins and make each one of us a blessing to someone else today. Amen.
speak to me. I want to feel you. I need to hear you. You are the light that's leading me to the place where I find peace again. You are the strength that keeps me walking. You are the hope that keeps me trusting. You are the light to my soul. You are my purpose. You're everything. And how can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Could you tell me how could it be any better than this? You calm the storms and you give me rest. You hold me in your hands. You won't let me fall. You steal my heart when you take my breath away. Would you take me in? Take me deeper now. And how can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Could you tell me how could it be any better than this? And how can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? Could you tell me how could it be any better than this? 'Cause you're all I want. Everything, everything, you're better than this.
I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to quickly go through this passage, and I'll tell you a quick story. As the college students and I, back during the exam pack run, end of November, 1st of December, we were had several opportunities for conversations with our college students, and about things that they were wrestling with and struggling with and questioning. And this service is really a result of those conversations. And I got to thinking about wrestling. And I will admit, growing up, I was a professional wrestling fan. Is any other? Now raise your hand if you love professional wrestling. Now, that's only five of you. Come on, I know there are more than that. All right, okay. Now, people like Ric Flair, right? Woo! Right? Ric Flair. What about Hulk Hogan? You got Hulk Hogan fans out there, all right? I was a big fan. I see Christian in the back waving. I was a big fan of Sting. Let's see, not the musician, the wrestler. Let's see, some other ones. Oh, now if you know this name, you will be dating yourself. The Rock and Roll Express. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, okay. They were my favorites growing up. The Rock and Roll Express. And I have pictures of them that I showed in recreation if you want to see what I'm talking about. They were great. I love professional wrestling. And there was always a great story that went with the whatever was going on. Always these stories and people were changing sides from whatever fit what they wanted. They would change their story and they would go from good to bad and back, and it was good stuff. And I thought about that. You know, our college students, they typically wrestle with questions at this time in their life. I mean, that's just what they do. They're faced with a whole new set of worldviews and values, and it comes into conflict sometimes with what they're raised to believe at this church or in other churches. And I thought about how but really we all wrestle. I mean, we all get into half Nelsons and full Nelsons. We get drop kicked sometimes by life. We these things that happen to us, we really struggle with. And there's a story here in Genesis 32 that we're going to just go through very quickly that really will bring us to the communion table. This is Genesis 32, starting in verse 22. That night, Jacob was the son of Isaac. He was the second born, the twin. His twin brother Esau came out first. He came out second. He was holding the heel of Esau as he came out. Is everybody familiar with that story? If you don't know that story, that starts back in chapter 25. Powerful, powerful stories. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives. He's an older man. He is coming back home. He made his brother so mad Esau wanted to kill him. And when Esau wanted to kill him, Jacob fled. And now, several years have gone by, and he's coming back. That night, Jacob and got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" Jacob answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." My point this morning, if you and I are to live a full and faith-filled life, we must daily work out our salvation. We must daily question. Here's Jacob. He's a guy who, he did whatever he wanted to do to get his way. Has anybody else done that? I mean, don't we make deals with God? Don't we make deals with other people? If you do this for me, I'll love you, or I'll do this for you. Jacob did that all his life. Whether his dad, his brother, his mom, his wife, his father-in-law, that's how Jacob lived. He made deals. And here, Jacob is returning home. And he knows Esau is still mad and wants to kill him. And so he's got all these animals and this wealth, and he's going to make a deal with Esau. Esau, I want to come home. I'm giving you all this stuff. Just don't kill me. I'm going to give you all this stuff. I'm going to make a deal with you. And so here, Jacob is left alone the night before he goes to see his brother. He's left alone. And in the middle of that river, a wrestling match breaks out. All night this thing goes. And at daybreak, Jacob doesn't let the man go until he blesses him. And then we find out that this man, was he God? Was he an angel? We don't know. A lot of people think different things. But we know that he was either God or God's representative. And he touched him on the hip. Just a touch. And instantly Jacob limped for the rest of his life. His hip was dislocated. And then something interesting happens. His name is changed. No longer is he Jacob, the deceiver, the one who makes deals. Jacob is the one who came to a place in his life where he had made deals and deals and deals, and nothing, he was still running. Even from God, he came to a point where he was alone. He wrestled with God, and he would not let him go until God changed him. And from that day forward, Jacob walked with a limp, and he walked under a new name. That night, his name was changed to Israel. And from Jacob, we have the 12 tribes of Israel. God was able to use Jacob in his deceitfulness, in his lying, in his struggle. He was able to use him to change a nation. And I thought about for us, as you and I come to the communion table, the Lord's table, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, it's a great story that, oh, God was wrestling with a man. My question for us is, when was the last time you wrestled with God? For you and I, it's easy to come in here. College Park's a great church. We have so many things to offer. And we're nice to people. We have a 9 o'clock service if you don't like 11 o'clock, and 11 o'clock if you don't like... whatever you want, we've got. It's easy to come to College Park. But Christianity is not in the easy stuff. For you and I, like Melissa was talking about, it's when we're called to do the hard stuff, loving the unlovable. That's when we begin to wrestle with God. But that is when He begins to change you and I. For youth who grow up here, it's easy to come here. You got people who love our youth, love our children. But when you go to college, your faith begins to become your own. You have to wrestle with these things yourself. Whether you're a college student, whether you're a daughter trying to take care of her aged mother or father, you have to wrestle with the tough stuff. So this morning, Are you wrestling with God? When was the last time you asked difficult questions and were not satisfied until you found the answers? Because that's when life change happens. Not in the easy, but the difficult. So where are you? As you come to the table where Jesus, His body, and His blood are represented, consider what He faced on the cross. He wrestled with God the night before. Don't we remember the Garden of Gethsemane? How He wrestled? God, take this from me. Today, how can somebody know that you have been touched by God? You see, Jacob limped for the rest of his life after that wrestling match. It was a visible sign that God had touched him. Do you have a visible sign that God has touched you? Can people around you see God has touched you and changed you? As we come to the table this morning, that is the question. As we come to experience the Lord's Supper, where are you? How has God changed you? And can people tell it? Let's pray together. Father, it is true. If we are to live a full and faithful life, it must not be in just attending church. It must be in the daily working out of our salvation. The daily coming to grips with the truth of your love and the calling that you have placed on our lives to change the world with your love. As we come to your table, may we be honest with ourselves. You have been wrestling with us. Maybe we just haven't been paying attention. Touch us this morning. Deep within our souls, remind us the cross. We are to take it up to follow you. And in the hard stuff, we are touched, we are changed, and we can be used to change the world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room, he knew they were going to have a lot of questions, more than they could ever have imagined on that evening. But he also knew he was giving them the foundation for the answers that they would be seeking. When he told them, "This is my body, it was broken for you," he was giving them the foundation to know that he was going to suffer for them. They would begin to put all that together. More would be revealed to them. But for that day, that was enough. "This is my body. It's broken for you. Take and eat." Then he took the cup and he said, this is a new covenant. It's a new covenant in my blood, a new arrangement so that when you have questions, there's a relationship already formed. When you have questions, don't be afraid of them. Seek those answers in me. That's what Christ was saying. Seek those answers in him. Take and drink. And after they had done all of that, they sang a song before they went out. I want to invite you to sing, what is the hymn number, Mary? 411. And then we're going to stand and sing. And if you have questions about who Jesus Christ is and would like a relationship with him, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you have other questions about your growing relationship with Christ, I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. And if you're here and you have questions about how to be a member of College Park Baptist Church, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. I invite you to stand now as we sing together and celebrate together the nature of our relationship with Christ. Would you stand with me?
Second, need my college mission team. Come on down. Come on down. If you're going to Charleston with us, come stand down here, please. Some were in the early service. We have a team of 15 that are headed down to Charleston. We'll be working on the same home we worked on last year. And we're not repairing the work we did last year. We're doing new work. So just in case you were wondering. So we are looking forward to our time in Charleston. We are headed there this afternoon, and we'll return Wednesday night. We want to have just a brief moment of prayer and commissioning for this team. We do ask, we covet your prayers, ask that you keep us in your daily thoughts and devotions, and let us pray together. Our Father, you have called all of us to be on mission. But for this appointed time, at this moment in history, you have called this team to do this specific work. May they go with your mercy and your grace. May they speak freely of your love. May they be bold in proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And may people be changed because they can see that you have touched them deep into their souls. This is our calling for all of us, whether in Charleston, whether in Winston-Salem, or around the world. We go in your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Robert?
Following the benediction, be sure and come and speak a word to those that will be going. And speak a word to each other of encouragement as well. Father, as we go now, protect us, give us courage and your peace. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.